Good morning, Peace Church, and welcome to worship. If you're joining us on YouTube this morning, click on the link in the description below to check in. If you're joining us on Facebook, that link can be found in the comments. No matter how you're joining us, we would love to know that you've worshiped with us this morning. You will also find other helpful links, such as our online giving portal and prayer request submissions. If you are still able, you can continue to send in any contributions through the mail or give electronically by visiting www.peacechurch.org/give. If you know of someone that doesn't have access to a computer, we encourage you to call them and worship with them over the phone. We want to make sure that everyone is still connected during this time when we are urged to stay apart. Lastly, if we can be of any assistance during this time, please don't hesitate to contact the church office. From all of us here at Peace, thank you for joining us this morning. Now let's begin worship with the singing of our opening hymn, Christ is Risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is gracious.
For his mercy endures forever.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ,
whose mercy has given us new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Without having seen him, we love him and we believe in him,
receiving the outcome of our faith, the salvation of our souls.
Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Let us pray.
Almighty God, who through your Son overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, grant that we who celebrate our Lord's resurrection may arise from the death of our sin through the renewal of your Holy Spirit, and may hear and obey your living word of truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Alleluia. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson today comes to us from Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations, praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our first New Testament lesson comes to us from 1 Peter chapter 2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Know that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected it has become the cornerstone and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament lesson found in Acts chapter 8. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house, and dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed, so that there was great joy in that city. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we're going to talk about the church scattered. And we're going to talk about being caught in the axe. And what a follower of Jesus looks like is one who shares the word of God. He shares what God has done in his or her life. And I will say it again. A disciple who is caught in the axe is about being a follower of Jesus Christ, proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ to all they encounter. So this morning, let's look at our outline of the book of Acts. And the whole outline for the entire book of Acts is found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my disciples in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So we're basically talking about this outline is taking the gospel to the Jews who live in Jerusalem and Judea, to the Samaritans who live in Samaria, and to the end of the earth is where all of the Gentiles reside. So Jesus gives you and me a framework of how to share the gospel. You share the gospel where you are, and you share it with the people who are around you. The Holy Spirit has called you and me to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. And being a witness is this simple: telling Jesus' story and how his story is interfaced with your story. Where you have seen Jesus at work in your life. For example, when I was in kindergarten through about first, second grade, I remember going to Sunday school at my church. And I remember the ladies who taught me about Jesus. And every Sunday that I attended Sunday school, I really enjoyed learning how Jesus loved me. And you may remember when you were young, we all learned this hymn, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, for the Bible Tells Me So." So it's very, very important that you and I remember the very basics of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus loves us, and the Bible tells us that Jesus died to set us free from our sin. So, for an example, when I was a child, I thought like a child because I wasn't concerned if there was going to be enough food on the table. Maybe you might live in a different family than mine, but I never was concerned about food. And I surely was not worried about what kind of clothes I would wear because there was always clothes hanging in my closet. So life makes sense only when you have someone to believe in, whether it's yourself. For many people, that's what it is. They are their own God. And we can do a limited amount of things, but at times our world just doesn't go how you and I planned it. But there is someone greater than you and me, and his name is Jesus. And he has plans for you and for me to walk and follow in his footsteps of sharing love, of sharing a message that sets us free from our sin and points to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I remember one time when I went to the hospital and from a previous church, and this man was in grave condition, and he shared his faith with me. He said, "Pastor, when I wake up, I'll either be in my own home here on earth, or I'll be in my new home in heaven. Either way, I win." And that's the good and great news of Jesus Christ, is that you and I are winners in Christ, because he has won it all for you and for me as followers of Jesus. So we are Easter people because he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. So let me share with you three signs of Pentecost this morning. Is to the Jews, that's Acts chapters 2 through 7, as we look at this outline. To the Samaritans is found in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 9 is the story of Saul becoming Saint Paul on the road to Damascus. And then Acts 10 through 28 is the story of the Gentiles, of the gospel going to the Gentiles. So the Holy Spirit is caught in the acts of this book of infusing his power in the first followers of Jesus. So imagine, if you will, the first disciples. They went from being cowards to courageous. They went from fearful to being fearless. They went from persecution to be disciples and people of peace. And they went from terror to tranquility. And that's what Pentecost is. It's a time when the Holy Spirit comes to the first church, the first believers. But Pentecost also comes to you and to me this day as followers of Jesus, as the Holy Spirit resides in our hearts and in our mind, as we have an opportunity to share the good and great news of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. At the first Pentecost, it was the Jews who were called to believe in Jesus. It was the God-fearers who came from many nations that heard the message that Peter proclaimed that day, is that our sins crucified Jesus Christ, and because of our sins, we repent and we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So everyone in Jerusalem that day who heard the message and whom the Holy Spirit called became a follower. And those who came to Jerusalem from other countries, they returned, and the seed of the gospel was proclaimed in other portions of the world. For the Samaritans, the Holy Spirit worked early in their lives as well as the church was scattered. In 8 verse 4, it says, "Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went." That word for preached can be translated proclaimed, shared, whatever. Is that the people who had been scattered because of the persecution in Jerusalem, wherever they landed, they shared the word of God. They shared their story intersecting with the story of Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. So the apostles were sent from Jerusalem to check it out in Samaria. And when they found out is that these Samaritans also believe, they placed their hands on the Samaritans, and they also received the gift of the Holy Spirit. But it's a little tougher for the disciples to believe that Gentiles could also be included in the church. So the Holy Spirit is caught in the acts just as well as when Cornelius, a Gentile, invites Peter to come to his home and share a message from the Lord. And while Peter is sharing the message, the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples. And we have then Pentecost 3. And these people were speaking in tongues and all kinds of manifestations to show that the Holy Spirit had been given to them just as well. And we find out in Acts 10, verse 45, the circumcised believers were astonished that the Holy Spirit was given to the Gentiles as well. This was way out of their box of believing that Gentiles too could be followers of Jesus. As it continues on in Acts chapter 10, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. God has called you and me to be his disciples. We have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. We may not have talked in miraculous tongues or anything like that, but the Holy Spirit resides right here, right within our hearts and our minds, and we have a story to tell, the story of Jesus. So let me talk and let kind of give you a little bit of review this morning. Pentecost 1 is to the Jews. So the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples, the word is proclaimed, and the result is harvesting. So harvesting is very, very important in our day, just as it was in the early church. The Holy Spirit came in the sound of wind and tongues of fire. The disciples share the story of Jesus, and a harvest happened. Pentecost 2 is to the Samaritans. The word is proclaimed. The Holy Spirit is received, and the results of harvesting. The church was living in uncertain times because it now had been scattered. It was driven out of Jerusalem. And so many people that day feared for their safety, just as we fear for our safety this day as well. And the church scattered shared the story of Jesus with their new friends. And hopefully you and I are maybe making some new friends. I know that I was in Walmart this week, and I talked with the cashier, and she said, well, she just got on duty. And I said, well, I pray that the Lord gives you a great day. And she said, thank you, and I pray that you have a great day too. And so after I finished paying for my order, I told her, the Lord bless your day, and she gave me a great big smile. You see, it's no harder than that. Is when God puts people in your way, just talk to them. Let them know that they're a person, and let them know that they're valued by Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So the Holy Spirit witnesses to the apostles that the Samaritans also belong in the church. And Pentecost 3 is to the Gentiles. The word is proclaimed, the Holy Spirit is received, and the results of harvesting. Cornelius had a vision from an angel, that the angel told him that there would be a man in this town, and go and send his servants and ask him to come and share the word of God. Well, while these servants are on their way to see Peter, Peter has this vision at noontime, and the Lord lets down what I would call a big sheet, something like if you're out in a picnic, a big sheet, and on this is unclean food, and he is told to take and eat. And Peter says, no, I can't take because it's unclean. Well, three times Peter is told to take and eat, and three times Peter says, I can't because it's unclean. And after that, the vision is finished, and then Peter hears people outside of the home looking for him, and when they tell him why they're there, Peter recognizes, the Gentiles also belong in the church because the Jews considered them as unclean. So the Holy Spirit comes upon the Gentiles just as the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles at Pentecost 1. And they can't deny that the Holy Spirit is given to the Gentiles. The Holy Spirit is, if you will, the witness to the disciples that the Gentiles also belong in the church, because this is God's plan of salvation, of harvesting. And today, we are also in a time of harvest. So what have we learned as the church scattered? Well, the church is not a building. Hopefully, we understand that. I think the second thing we have learned is that we miss our church family. And right now, we're really in discussion about talking about how do we worship in this building safely for your sake and for our sake, because we don't want to contaminate anybody, but we all want to get together as church family to basically see one another and to let others know that we've been praying for them and that we care. We've also learned how we take things for granted, such as church, family, and friends. So hopefully during this time, you've had some time to reflect upon what's really important. And what's really important is family. God's family here at Peace, but also family in your home, and extended family wherever they live, and friends around you just as well, is that they are important. And there's all kinds of ways now to communicate, so I continue to encourage you, is let people know that you care, because God cares. Well, let's also look at what have we have learned as the church scattered. Well, people are more likely to attend online worship rather than come into our building. That's a fact. When we look at people coming online to see and participate in our worship service, we have people from Africa and Europe online watching and participating in worship, plus others in the United States of America. What we've also learned about Zoom meetings and social distancing, if you don't know about Zoom meetings, it's something you turn on your computer and all of a sudden people's faces show up on your screen and you have a meeting where you can talk and listen. But we also have learned about social distancing just as well, to protect others and to protect ourselves. And we've also learned is that a liquor store is essential. Now, I think that this is kind of funny in my own kind of sense of humor, but this is a way that people are trying to cope with a new reality by imbibing liquor. And there's nothing wrong with having a little liquor, but too much is not healthy. In 1 Peter 5:7, it says, take all your anxiety and to bring it to Jesus because he cares for you. So remember our bracelets, pop and pray. So if you're really dealing with a lot of anxiety, just call into the church. Let us walk with you whatever you're facing, because you don't have to face it alone. We are here as your church family to lift you up. Well, what else have we learned as the church scattered? Well, it's a time of reset to rediscover love and appreciation for others. God is calling you and me back to him, and the church scattered is God's way of sharing the message of Jesus. I don't think any of us could have thought last Christmas that we would ever have been out of this building and not in worship. None of us saw that coming at all. And especially for Easter, it was a different time. It is a different world. So what is our new normal? Well, we haven't yet discovered what new normal is. But what we do know is that new normal today is the church scattered. And the church is scattered for a reason, is to share the message of Jesus Christ. Or as it says in Acts chapter 8, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. They proclaimed, they shared their Jesus story with others. So the church scattered today is being a witness of Jesus and how he has affected your life and my life. The church scattered is living out each and every day with hope and faith in the one who died and rose again. The church scattered is sharing the love of Jesus with family, friends, and beyond. So the church scattered is sharing the love of Jesus Christ with others. So let me kind of give you this morning a definition of the kingdom of God found in Romans chapter 14 as it reads, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval." So the kingdom of God is not about food and clothing. It's not a matter of the stomach, but the kingdom of God is a matter of the soul. It is about Jesus Christ living in us to make us righteous, to make us right with God and right with others. And we have this peace that passes all human understanding, is that we are saved as servants of Jesus Christ. He gives us peace and we have joy in a time of uncertainty. Christianity in the first three centuries was not by conviction, but once Emperor Constantine made the church the official religion of the Roman Empire, Christianity became a matter of convenience. Christian churches, today we need to have a personal conviction. Being a Christian is not about convenience, about coming into a building, seeing the people that we love, and then going home and doing very little in sharing the gospel. Christianity has to be about personal conviction, of sharing the word of God where we are. We have to be in Acts chapter 8 church today. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. I encourage you today is proclaim the word of God, share the word of God, share the story of Jesus, share your story of Jesus, and let others know that you have peace, that you are filled with joy in a matter of uncertainty. May God bless you this week and always. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us now confess our faith in our risen Lord from the words of Holy Scripture, the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved.
Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised to life on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Amen.
Thank you.
Most precious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning thanking you for the gift of grace. We look at our world today. It's a different world. We don't know what normal is anymore. But we do know is that you are God, and we are your people. And for that, we are very thankful. We do know, too, is that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to save the world. And you have called us to be your witnesses. And we pray, Lord, in this time of uncertainty, that we will be your witnesses, sharing the good and great news that we have in our own lives and our own hearts, and helping others to see that there is a new way with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We pray this day, Lord, is that your kingdom will continue to come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we lift up to you today many who are ill and hurting. We pray for those who are unemployed, at wit's end. Lord, this is a difficult time for a lot of people in our country and in our world. We pray for our elected leaders. We pray, Lord, is give them wisdom from above so that the decisions that they will make will be good for us and help us as people of the kingdom to obey our leaders as best as we possibly can. We thank you, Lord, for the precious gift of family, of faith, of life. And Lord, this day we just pray is that your kingdom will continue to come among us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Heavenly Father, into your hands we commit all of our prayers today as we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction. May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory and praise and might and majesty forever and ever. Amen.